joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He hosts the evening show over on 670 The Score down in Chicago, also the host of the House of L podcast. One of my favorite guys in the biz, it is Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
I'm doing well. How is life in Milwaukee?
It's pretty good, Lawrence. Am I off as the resident Bears fan here at the station to not be overly confident going into this game Sunday, considering Aaron Rodgers is 16-3 with a 108 plus passer rating against the Bears, and they haven't beat the Packers at Soldier Field since 2010? Does any of that matter, or is this season just a whole nother story in and of itself?
Now, you're pretty much right on with the rest of Bears Nation about how they feel about this game. I tend to side with what I've seen recently, and even with the way that the Packers played on Sunday, and I thought the offense played really well on Sunday, if you just look at the personnel, the Bears have better personnel than the Packers do, which is weird, and it turned over pretty quickly this past season in them doing it. They've gotten incredible production on the offensive side from Allen Robinson. He has played like the number one receiver they have paid him to be. Khalil Mack has done a great job with making this team more than relevant. And Akeem Hicks is going to the Pro Bowl with the way that he's played so far this year. So I think that for the first time in a long time, Bears fans can be confident that they have a better overall team than what the Packers do.
So what does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean?
I mean, would he say something? I mean, I don't know.
He said he tends to believe what he's seen more recently than the history that we're talking about.
What that means.
Lawrence, I apologize. He won't regret that. I'll
try to figure out what that means.
Every time he act like that. I know he agrees with me.
I'm trying to figure out what.
Every time I come on here, he act like he don't agree with me.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what Lawrence talking about. Like,
well, ask him a question. Maybe he can clarify further.
What's the streak, Rami?
2010 was the last time the Bears beat the Packers on Soldier Field. Yes.
Does that end on Sunday, Lawrence? Is that what
I
that means?
So. I think so. And the reason why is because the Bears actually have something to play for. Had the Vikings won on Monday night, I think that the idea of a trap game, which is weird to say about the Packers, would have been in play.
Right.
But with them having the division on the line, you pretty much get to do two things if you win, if you're the Bears. You get to win and you get to eliminate the Packers from playoff contention for the most part. Now, what I do think is fascinating is if the Packers win. Like that to me is, I've been thinking about it and talking about it throughout the week. If the Packers win, it opens up a door for them. There's a pathway for them to then face the Bears again on Wild Card Weekend.
Right.
And the Bears would then have to figure out what to do against the Vikings on the last day of the season. Do you let the Packers in by maybe not playing everybody and resting folks? Or do you roll the dice with Aaron Rodgers in a playoff game versus a team that you've seen and you pretty much handled in the Vikings, for example, and allowing them in?
Well, let me ask you this. If Trubisky throws three picks on Sunday, do they still beat the Green Bay Packers?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's probably the thing in Chicago that hasn't been talked about that much because Jared Goff was worse than what Trubisky was. But Trubisky was bad. And the fact that you saw Matt Nagy fight against his instincts. His instincts are to be aggressive. And you saw in the fourth quarter, he was like, nah, bro, we're going to hand the ball off and punt and let our defense win the game. I do think that should be a reason for optimism if you're the Packers and a reason of concern for the Bears. You saw the Mitchell Trubisky that we saw at the beginning of the season. You saw the Mitchell Trubisky that we saw a little bit of last year. And I'm wondering, is that rust? Is that nerves? My working hypothesis is that he's an offensive player that thinks like a defensive player. And what I mean by that is that he gets fired up. Like, he is a hyped up dude. And I don't know if you can play that way at the quarterback position because you see the ball tend to sail on him miss high with a lot of throws. And if he does that, I think that if you give Aaron Rodgers some of the opportunities that Jared Goff had, with short fields and in the red zone after interceptions, I think he's going to convert on those. So I would say yes, that is a recipe for the Bears to lose the game if the quarterback plays as badly as he played on Sunday night.
I think it's been a changing of the guard to what people think. Sean McVay was the new up and coming guy. He got this offense, averaged 35 points. And I mean, these guys, you know, unbelievable, putting up 450 yards average. But I think Nagy, to me, passed him with the way he was putting these plays together. Any play that you design for one of your offensive linemen or a lineman that's white to celebrate and do the pony, that's 100 to me. Hey, man, that's the best dance. I've been doing that dance in my living room all week, okay? But my question is this. The weather's going to be 43 degrees and sunny, a nice day. I'm sure it'll be windy. But that's when Chicago would try to take over for the deficiencies on the Green Bay Packers offensive line. Three linemen didn't even play last week. And, you know, you don't really know how healthy these guys are going to be. Is that something that you'll think that they'll take advantage of?
Well, you guys can speak to this. I had Lance Briggs on my show last night. And I asked him, I said, have you ever seen anything like that? And he goes, no, because usually there's some sort of offensive personnel that's on the field. He said that his defense didn't even have a call for that package that the Bears ran. Mm. So I'm curious what you guys – like, what I thought that the mistake that the Rams made was, if you saw that thing, I would have used the timeout and been like, okay, let's figure out what we do. And as for the tackle – his name is Soul, my man.
I love that guy, man.
He said that he basically blacked out after the touchdown, and he doesn't remember what he did. But, yes, a lot of people in Chicago were doing that dance, I'm sure. Like, you were doing it back in the day in the club.
Right. No, he was.
Speaking of those celebrations, Lawrence, we'll get back to the actual football in a second. Do they have, like, a choreographer or somebody who's coaching and coordinating these celebrations? Because they've had, like, four or five of the best ones that I've seen this year. There was one where they put on a concert.
They've done a great job. They're having a lot of fun, man.
Speaking of doing stuff back, you know, sitting on your couch at home, when Anthony Miller scored that touchdown, I think it was 3 weeks ago, and they all sat down and rowed the boat, I was sitting on my couch rowing the boat right along with them. Who is coming up with this stuff? Do you know?
I don't know who's coming up with it, but I will tell you that they've taken a little bit of what the Cubs do. So one of the things that Matt Nagy did was he sought out Joe Maddon when he first got the job, and I think that's a smart idea. So the Cubs have a party room. So after every win,
right,
there's like a DJ, a disco ball, a light show, the whole nine yards, and they celebrate. The Bears put one in too. So at Halas Hall, they have one of those. I mean, at Soldier Field, they have one of those. So they come back off the field off a win. You got guys doing all sorts of stuff. I would imagine, don't quote me on this, but I would imagine that Prince Amukamara is one of the leading choreographers, and Tariq Cohen is one of the leading choreographers.
I would think that room is only open just this year, right? room's been closed for a while, so have fun with it.
It's been closed for a long time.
Hey, are you
John Fox had 8 wins in 2 seasons, so they weren't dancing at all the last
Right, because you're right, Lawrence. If you think about the teams that have the best choreography or the best doing the best stuff, skits, those teams got 10, 11, 12, 13 wins.
That's right. I mean,
it ain't teams with 4 wins.
No.
It's been a big change here. Like, yeah, from a culture standpoint, it's been refreshing. And I really like dealing with Nagy. Like, I think that he's open with what he's trying to do. And honestly, I feel like he's been a breath of fresh air. In Chicago, we had to deal with crazy Trestman and his weird stuff that he was doing and his bizarre teams. And then John Fox, like, stole the fun of Bears football away from Chicago because he was so serious and didn't seem to have any joy. Nagy coaches with a lot of joy, and I think that it resonates beyond the team. I think the fans themselves kind of feel it, and there's a lot of puffy-chested Bears fans. But look, the one thing that scares Bears fans, there's only one thing left. that scares them, because they're not scared of the Rams anymore.
Yeah, they scared
they're
of the Packers.
Not scared of the Saints.
They're scared of the Packers.
Not even the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Dang. Their defensive coordinator will be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, their defensive coordinator. Ooh. There's no way he coaches again on defense. He will be the Packers head coach. Joe Lombardi will be the offensive coordinator. There's no way Vic can ever be a coordinator with this many job openings. It's a shame that he's not a head coach. And I'm going to tell you something. I like, and it's not so much, he was doing this way before Khalil Mack came in town. That just enhanced it. So
you're right about that.
That's why they kept him
last year.
That may have been Nagy's best hire. Keep him in place and let's get this thing going. But what kind of guy do you think the Green Bay Packers need? Do they need a guy like that? If they don't get Vic, what kind of head coach do you think that'll work with Aaron Rodgers? Because we had something on here about Darren Woodson saying that maybe Rodgers may not have the mentality and, you know, all that to work with, you know, Belichick. Because, you know, he's a kind of a selfish guy.
Darren Woods got hate in his heart, man.
Well, I'm just saying what – I'm just putting it out there. So what kind of coach you think will work with Aaron Rodgers?
I think that he needs someone who can challenge him mentally but understands where the line is. And it's a weird thing to say, but
sense.
When you're an MVP and you've got the creative offensive mind, like that, you want to let Aaron do his thing. But what you better do, along with getting a coach, is you better put some better pieces around him. And I mean the whole team. I don't just mean the offense.
Yeah.
I think is okay, like has some decent players on it. But you better start putting better players around him. I don't know if Vic will ever get a job to be coach, and I wish that he would. I was advocating last year. Well, I agree with you that he deserves one. I thought that last year that the Bears should have allowed him to be the interim coach when they fire John Fox and let him just kind of ride the whole thing out. But they had a better plan, and they hired the right guy in Nagy. But what Vic has done since he's been here, and even when he was in San Francisco, his defenses were tremendous. I think that guy deserves an opportunity, but there are going to be a lot of things that are held against him. One, he's not an offensive guy, even though he's someone who recommended Matt Nagy for other jobs, by the way. So
there you go.
He clearly knows who the bright offensive guys are. And two, he's 60 years old. And I don't know if there are a lot of teams that are going to bring in an older coach to head up their team.
Hey, I want a seasoned coach. I mean, that can have a pedigree and put things down on paper. That took a team from worst to first. That's a guy I want. I don't care nothing about his age.
Well, I'm with you. I think the guy deserves an opportunity, and I wonder if he's satisfied. Like, I know that he wanted.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
To be
he
head
could
coach,
be satisfied there.
Think,
yeah.
Hey, I got an opportunity to win a Super Bowl with this offense and my defense, and he's got a head coach that leaves him alone. That defense is all Vic. Matt
that's
Nagy doesn't
another
care
good point.
A damn about the defense because he knows Vic's got it covered.
Lawrence, before we let you go, and we're talking with Lawrence Holmes of 670 The Score down in Chicago, I got to ask you about the Bulls, man. I remember.
Why are you going to waste the interview on this?
I remember.
Why are you even doing it?
Because I got.
He agreed.
I remember a Twitter exchange between the two of us as the NBA season was tweeting and was tipping off, and you said something along the lines of you're really looking forward to this Bulls season, and I replied, what, in like a sit back and watch the train wreck sort of way? And I to quote Gutter as portrayed by Jon Favreau in the great film PCU, I knew it would be bad. I did not think it would be this bad. How is Jon Paxson even still employed, and what the hell is going on down there?
I implore everybody to read a piece that Ricky O'Donnell wrote on SB Nation yesterday about the Bulls, because I think that he spells it out better than anyone. He took a flamethrower to that franchise, and I think it's deserved. Why did Jon Paxson get to hire five coaches? And this guy that he's got in there now looks like he has no business being a head coach of an NBA team. They thought they were going to come in there with high school stuff. We're going to have them running suicides and 2.5-hour practices after back-to-back games. That's stuff you do at Kenwood High School. That's not stuff that you do in the NBA. And he found out real quick who's got the power in that relationship, because those guys almost revolted
and didn't show up to practice. And when he was like, we're going to have this 2.5-hour practice, they were like, no, we're not. We're going to sit down and talk about what we're not going to do. and that's now what has happened. They didn't give, in my opinion, I'm not a Fred Hoiberg stan, but in my opinion, they never gave him the roster to go with what he wanted to do offensively. And then when their guys were finally healthy, they fire him and bring in this other dude who has no business on the bench. It's a disaster, and it is a laughing stock right now of the league, and it's really sad. The only thing that helps them is that the Bears are good, so people don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But once the Bear season is over, they're going to turn their attention to both the Bulls and the disaster that is the Chicago Blackhawks, and there's going to be problems. So what Jerry Reinsdorf can do to stop that is have his baseball team sign Bryce Harper, because that's the only thing that's going to keep the Heat off. If you end up with Bryce Harper playing on the White Sox, that's it.
That is Lawrence Holmes. He is on 670 The Score evenings, weeknights, and check out the House of L podcast. Follow him on Twitter. Fun follow at Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence, you know I always appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for the time.
Rami, be good. Leroy, it's good to talk to you, man. I'm tired of just bumping into you in the break room up there. And Gary, cut me some slack, man. Cut me some slack.
He won't cut me Lawrence, no slack, you know, Lawrence. So it's all
you know
good.
You know I love you, boss. You know I love you.
That's how you love
people. Are you gonna be at the game Sunday?
No, I have my responsibilities on NBC Sports Chicago.
Oh, yeah, he hosts the post-game show on NBC Sports Chicago with Lance Briggs and Alex Brown.
That's good money, yeah. That's that good money.
With Matt Forte and Alex Brown and Lance Briggs, I put on a suit. We suited and booted, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Awesome. Awesome, buddy. Well, I will say this, though. I think it's been great, though, to kind of have this rivalry back. I mean, to have two teams that – you now know they respect one another, and really to have Chicago back. I mean, it just wasn't fun when Chicago wasn't that good for a long time. This kind of creates a little bit more excitement. I think it makes the game a little bit more exciting. So I'm glad to see the Bears are back.
Do you believe two former Packers when they tell you they're glad that the Bears are good, Lawrence?
I believe them. These guys are sincere, man. Yeah. They keep it
Gary's going. Son works 100. For them, so he's conflicted.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. I
he's
think
really pulling for the
it
Bears.
It creates more excitement. You can see that stadium. Mm-hmm. I think that stadium, Soldier Field, on Sunday, it's going to be really, really loud, and I like that.
Hey, Lawrence, real quick, since you mentioned Soldier Field, I know I said we were going to let you go a few minutes ago. What is up with the air raid sirens every play during the Bears game?
Okay, so I don't know if they're going to do that on Sunday. That, to me, was a step too far. I did like, though, what they kept doing, and you guys will appreciate this because you have an outdoor stadium, too. At the beginning of the game, the PA announcer was like, the temperature on the field is 26 degrees. And everyone, started going crazy.
Right.
At the beginning of the second half, they were like, the temperature to start the second half is 17 degrees. And, I do think there was a little mental warfare that was going on.
Yeah.
With this air raid siren that they're using to hype up the crowd, I think that's going a little too far. Bears fans know how to cheer when it comes to their defense. What they don't know how to do is be quiet when the team is on offense. So we'll see what they do. And I bet they're going to make a whole bunch of noise for Aaron Rodgers and the boys on Sunday. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be loud.
Guys. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. And let's keep it real right now.
Uh-oh.
Real.
Packers-Vikings is fun. It's all right. But Bears-Packers, that's where it's at.
That's
man.
Where it's like, at. That's, For me, that's where
that's
it's at.
That's the oldest rivalry in all the sports.
Yeah,
so.
That's where it's at, man. Really
I mean, the Vikings are, they're whatever. But Bears-Packers, that's where all the animosity. Mm-hmm. I used to work with Doug Buffone. Mm-hmm. And Doug said that when the Bears used to play the Packers, that Hallis used to call it Packer Panic Week.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm like – that's what I'm about. I'm like, this is great. It's good for both communities. I love the connection between the two, and I think it makes it more fun. It's more fun than dealing with the Lions. It's more fun than dealing with the Vikings. It's these two teams. Let's get it on.
Lawrence, thanks again, man. We'll talk again soon, my friend.
All right, guys. Be well.
All right, boss. Yes, sir.
And he joins that's Lawrence Holmes, 670 The Score in Chicago, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities. And